Okay, it'll be in Punnett tomorrow night, and then we'll have a classic Art Bell show for you on Sunday, and then I'll update you on the program sometime next week for the following weekend. One of our engineers here, Karis, was in here getting ready to do the show, and as I was getting ready to prepare for this break that you're going to hear in just a second, and I'm thinking to myself, I've got to tell Karis something, so I'm thinking his name, and before I had a chance to say anything, he says, "What?" Now, I didn't say a word. I was going to. I wasn't looking at him, and he's far away from me. So, you know, it's not like I turned to say something. And I said, "I was just ready to call your name." And he went, "Oh, well, what do you need?" I mean, it's like this guy's got perception or something. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. We'll come back in a moment. We've got phone calls, open lines this hour. At the end, we've got a letter from Michael on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Let's go right back to our open lines. This hour is going to go by very quickly. It's a 1-11-11. Man, I can't get away from these numbers. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, this is Chris Carpenter. I'm calling from Portland.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Actually, I wanted to tell you, first off, I enjoy your program. I've been listening for about 10 years, and I just wanted your opinion on something I came across recently involving Bigfoot, Sasquatch.
All right, I'll do the best we can for you. If not, I'll get you to some people's websites. They may be able to help you that way, too.
Okay. Well, anyway, recently on the news, I heard or overheard quite a large reward offered, and I grew up in North Idaho, so I know quite a few places, seen quite a few tracks, trails. I was wondering if you think that might be something that should be left alone, or if you think it's something I should pursue.
Well, now, tell me about this reward. What'd you hear?
I think it was somewhere around $1 million.
Okay, I'm not sure that that happened. Lauren Coleman was on the program. He's a cryptozoologist, and he was working on getting a group to come up with $1 million for photographic evidence of Bigfoot, bona fide evidence that would then lead to a capture of a Bigfoot. But he had told us on the program a couple months ago that he was unable to secure that. So maybe you heard part of a story that was going to happen, but it didn't happen.
All right, that's probably true.
But if you want more information on these critters, Coleman's website especially, if you just go to coasttocoastam.com, on the left-hand side, click Show Info,
okay,
and then Guests. And his name is Lauren, L-O-R-E-N, Coleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N. You click his name, and that'll give you his websites. And he's got some great information there.
All right. And you think that's something that should be left alone in nature, or you think
You know what? We always have a curiosity about things. When I will say left alone in that I think these creatures, and I do believe they exist,
right,
should be studied. But I'm afraid that they're going to get shot.
Right.
That bothers me. As a matter of fact, we've had some people call the show.
Hunter, I remember that. About
Hunters,
10 years ago?
He said, not 10. I haven't been on that long.
Okay.
That was our... But we've had hunters claim that they would take pot shots at these things. You know, and I would hope that doesn't happen. I mean, if this thing charges at you, you know, I don't know what you're going to do. But in most cases, we haven't heard stories about that. There was one episode where somebody apparently was kidnapped, and he was kept with a family of them, and then he finally escaped.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your information, sir, and good luck with the program.
You got it. Let's move on to our superstition hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. George?
Yes.
This is Joan from St. Louis, your MSG lady.
Oh, hi there, Joan. Joan used to come on my local show every once in a while. She, rightfully so, is against MSG in foods. And I assume you still have that campaign going?
Well, I try. Our group busted up. But whenever I get a chance, why, I get on the air and try to tell people the dangers of MSG and what it's doing to their bodies.
Gives them the jitters, I'll tell you that.
I hope it does. I wish it'd give the manufacturers a jitter. The reason why I called for the 13 line is because there are so many things. The number 13 is so prevalent in my life that you would not believe it.
Good things, I hope?
Well, some were good things. It was good for 37 years, and then the worm turned.
How'd it turn? What happened?
My husband died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, and the funny thing of it was, I met him on the 13th, and my mother said, well, it's not going to last. You met him on the 13th. She was so superstitious that I grew up hating 13th. But the funny part of it was, I just start telling you some of these things. I met him on the 13th. We got engaged on the 26th. 2 times 13 is 26. Married him. We were married.
How many years?
37 years.
37.
The first house cost $13,500.
I thought you were going to say you were married 13 years. For
no. The second house we saw on Friday the 13th, and we lived there 13 years. And we, I worked for 13 years after we were married. I quit in 1967, which is 13.
You didn't have 13 kids, did you?
No, no. We were married 13 years before we got our adopted child.
Now, since he's passed on, has this number been very unlucky for you?
I think so, yes, except for one thing. The gentleman that I have been going with is 13 years older than I am, and he says he wears a size 13 shoe.
You probably, a size 13 shoe? What is he, a clown?
He's just got big feet.
My God.
But the number 13 has been haunting me, and every time I look at the clock, it's something 13, and I'll see that, oh, all the time. It kind of spooks me. And
well, it sounds like the numbers are turning around for you again.
Whenever I make a purchase, it always seems like it's $13 and something.
You can't get away from it.
Something 13 cents.
Did you ever notice, like, if you get a car, you buy a car, all of a sudden you notice everybody has that car?
Yeah, yeah.
That happens. I'm just beginning to wonder with numbers if, too, you know, people project it on themselves.
Uh-huh.
You know?
I don't know,
like
but...
that.
Somebody said to me, they said, well, do you think maybe that 13 might be your husband trying to contact you? And she said, maybe the next time you see a 13, you ought to say, hi, John.
That's all you got to do. Hey, thanks a lot.
I don't know, but it just seems so odd that I wanted to tell you, you know, like I said, I was married 13 years before we adopted our daughter, and his employee number was 13857. And the thing that got me the most was he died on a weekend. And, you know, the hospital calendars, how they're split 6/7
yeah.
equals 13. He died in 1994. 9 and 4 is 13. He died at 8:50 p.m.
Can't get away from it.
No, I tell you, it's really haunting me.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Thanks for listening
thank you
all
for
these years.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Yeah, sure thing.
Bye.
Yeah, she listened to me for years back in St. Louis. And, truly started a campaign to rid or at least make people more aware of MSG to the point where she's responsible for me whenever I go shopping. I look at a package, no MSG. If I happen to go to a Chinese restaurant, no MSG because, you know, it does. It gives you the jitters. It's not good for you. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Well, welcome to the program. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Nevada. This is Joy.
Hi, Joy.
First of all, I wanted to just throw in real quick, since you don't believe in coincidences.
No, not at all.
I was actually calling in about the Utah Ranch story, and that had really captured my imagination, and because this is something, some things I've studied a long time, it seemed to fit right in with them, and I was looking over some old notes tonight, and right when you were telling about the event we're expecting in 2029,
mm-hmm.
When you said the name of it, I was pretty jolted.
Apophis.
Right at that moment, I was looking at my notes, reading Apophis.
You're kidding.
Egyptian dragon of darkness.
How about that for timing?
Yeah, that was pretty wild. So anyway, I'm listening to your show two nights ago, and I am very intrigued because this is something that fits in with a theory that I've had for years. And I had a very strange experience, and it's going to sound wild, but through the years I've learned that there are some wild things that happen out there.
And we can handle just about anything.
Yeah, thank goodness. I used to be kind of a skeptic, even putting together some of these theories of mine as I studied Middle Eastern ancient civilizations
mm-hmm.
in college. And my skepticism was kind of scraped away somewhat when we moved to a little ranch that was just by on the other side of a mountain range from Groom Lake. And the things that I saw there and the things that happened to my family kind of helped open my eyes somewhat.
This is going to be a fascinating moment here. Tell
us
more.
You know, I'm not even sure if you have the time to get to Groom Lake, but let me tell you what happened during that program.
Okay.
I was very excited, and I remember thinking to myself at the right at the beginning of the second hour, I can't wait to tell my 18-year-old son that I talked to all of this stuff about. He wants to be an archaeologist, and he's fascinated, too, with all the things that we study, and I'm always telling him about Coast to Coast. And I was thinking to myself, I'm so glad I'm so alert and had a nap today so I can catch every minute of this program. Well, that's the last thing that I remember happening, and then all of a sudden it's the bottom of the hour with the commercials. And they went on and on and on, and I thought, my word, I can't believe I fell asleep. That is so odd, because I take hours to fall asleep. I never go to sleep easily. I can't sleep in a car or on a plane, anything. So I'm very confused. So the show comes back on again, and I was wide awake during the commercials, and all of a sudden I'm gone again. And it's the top of the hour, and I can tell from where the commercials are. I woke up instantly when they started. And I thought, this is really spooky, because I'm not even tired right now. And I wasn't tired when this started. And I was very upset, because I wanted to hear this stuff so badly. And I remember a few words into the next segment, and I remember having a very strange feeling come over me. And once again, I was gone. And then I just sat up and I pinched myself and everything at the end of the next set of commercials. And each time I'd wake up at the very beginning of the commercials, I could tell from how long they'd go.
Why'd you keep dozing in and out?
I really actually think, when I told my son and my husband this, and my other kids, they were shocked, because they know that it takes me hours to go to sleep. And I wasn't even feeling exhausted, and I wouldn't even feel dozed. It felt like I was being hypnotized, quite frankly.
Right over the radio?
Yeah.
But who would be doing it?
Well, that's where maybe I have to, as quick as I can, because I know time's short, tell you my theory.
All right, yeah, tell me the theory, because the two guests are great guys. I mean, so they wouldn't have anything sinister here.
No,
and
absolutely
of course,
not.
I would not try it.
No, of course not. Absolutely not. Well, the whole theory is a religious one, and it's about the war in heaven. Okay, that whole motif is found in all of these ancient civilizations that I studied in different ways, and it's, and a lot of it's about the dragon. That's why I was.
All right, give me the short version.
Right, I'm trying really hard to cut it right down. Okay, anyway, I believe that the war in heaven is still going on, and that the forces of evil use these time portals. And that they use all kinds of stuff in their arsenal, and one of the things they can move through time and take possession of various animals that have been on the earth since the beginning of time
and
the various realms of creation.
And how did you then get tied into this?
Well, I've had a run-in that I really would rather not talk about it.
What do you mean? What do you mean a run-in?
Spooky.
Like a possession thing?
Well, I wasn't possessed, but
were they coming after you?
Yeah, I was given a couple of strong warnings to stay out of things, because through the internet and a lot of studies that I did, I think through the internet that's when I got the warnings within a week of each other.
I know you don't want to get into the specifics, but
have to be careful.
How did the warnings come to you, though? I mean, were you on a chat
room? One was sent to me over the internet, and one was a personal visit.
Visit by a being, an entity?
Oh, you know, I'm actually scared that it could put my family in danger, because it was a very threatening warning, because I got to the bottom line of what I believe is going on whole battle between good and evil.
They think that you're tapping into this, that maybe.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know too much.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well,
so I don't know, you know, if something was done over the airways with subsonic, ultrasonic, or just right here in person. But
whatever it was, they didn't want you to hear what was going on.
No, and the next day I didn't even remember to tell my son, and this was the most fascinating program I'd ever heard. And then finally in the afternoon when I remembered to tell him, I had a horrible reluctance to tell him, and I realized something very odd was going on, and it left my mind for another while, and
so
when I remembered I didn't want to give in to this.
Are
so
you going to fight these beings by yourself, or can you get some help?
Well, I tried to take a low profile, quite frankly. If I didn't have kids, I wouldn't mind. I'd fight them to the death, but, you know, I
when well, you have I guess kids, all we can protected. Say is be careful.
Yeah, I try to be careful. And it's not only that, but even some of the stuff that we saw at Groom Lake, we were able to see some stuff I don't think anyone else saw. And we even ran into some trouble there, so we do have to be careful.
You saw craft there, didn't you?
Flying craft. Saw a whole lot more than craft. A whole lot more than craft.
Did you see extraterrestrials?
No, but, well, the subject that we got into trouble with is the weather, the control that we saw, and the things that we saw done.
The weather? Weather manipulation?
Yeah, we saw it from the beginning. We saw the whole process from the first when they got out there.
What were they doing? Creating like little tornadoes and things?
They weren't little tornadoes. Well, the first one we saw was the one that was sent to northern Utah that was big and killed a few people, and we saw it created. And that year there were 12 that were created that came to northern Utah, all from the southwest.
And you're saying they test it there?
Yeah, and see, we were out rabbit hunting way in the desert, and we saw a huge orange fluorescent craft monitoring the control, and we saw the whole process happen way out in the desert where nobody else was, and we saw the whole process.
Do you have any pictures or any kind of evidence that we can take a look at?
Not pictures, but the next year when we came back to that area to live again, we saw it happen again, and I said to my husband, there's going to be another tornado up in Utah, and my parents came to visit the next day from there with a newspaper saying there was a tornado that night over their house, and this was the 12th one. And every time we saw one of these things formed, within 12 hours, there was a tornado in northern Utah.
So how does that tie into these evil entities that you've been talking about?
How it ties into it is because they travel through time to the time periods when, in the rounds of creation, which I believe there have been many rounds, and I think this is the last one, where they are in control of what's going on in the world. Right before Noah's flood, there's a lot of ancient manuscripts that show that they were in control there, and they keep bringing this technology back. And the people destroy themselves by misuse of this technology.
Are they giving that to people, or are they doing this
themselves? And it's happening again now. And they even sent a tornado over our house when I tried to send this information to somebody the very next morning. It was the only time I ever tried before now to get this information out, and they sent one right straight over our house.
I mean, what if they were coming at you at any time?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I said this.
Hello? Hello? That's weird. I mean, that wasn't even a hang-up. That was, like, gone. Man. Hey, if you can get back and call us and let us know you're okay, just do that. That was weird. Have you ever heard a phone just go like that? No. I mean, that's like someone snipped her line or something. Wow. Well, we're at the, my gosh, we're coming up at the end of the break here, and we'll be right back. And, Karis, I want to talk to you about that when we come back. That is strange. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment. Final segment here on Coast to Coast AM, plus this letter from Michael that will play right at the end of the hour. Well, Tommy says he's never heard a phone go out like that. I hope she's okay. She was just getting into some more things, and they may have snipped her lines. Well, we'll be back in a moment. We'll finish with our open line calls leading into this letter read by Detroit great Lee Allen, a story that's been on radio for a number of years now. I want you to take a chance to listen to it when we come back. I had not had an opportunity to wish you all truly a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays because I took my one of few vacations during that period, and I wanted to play this, and I shall do so a little bit later on tonight. But we'll be back in a moment. We'll finish up with the rest of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we've just got an email in from that woman who was cut off. She says, I am okay. I am alive. But this has happened before. They've had phones cut off in the middle of conversations. She thinks she's being watched. But she says she is alive and well. Assuming that's her email. When you get thousands every day, you just never know. Hey, by the way, it's a tradition now for me. Once a year, what we do is we pick out what our producers think are some interesting phone calls during the year. And we've got six of them that we're going to play for you next week. And then via Fast Blast, I want you to select the one that you like the best. I think the winner last year was that Baby Santo cat story, if you remember. But we'll do that. There are six of them, six clips. We'll pick a day that we'll do it. I don't know what day it is. And have you via Fast Blast just tell us which one was your favorite for the year 2005. Let's go back to the calls. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. All yours.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
My name's Dennis. I'm calling about, I guess, a childhood experience that I had. And I think back on it, and I guess I was about 10 years old at the time, and I think back on it, I still haven't been able to come up with any kind of explanation for what happened.
So what do you think happened?
Well, anyway, as a kid, you know, I lived in a small town called Clinton, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And we kind of lived in a house just on the outskirts of town. There are little row of houses there that at the end of those houses, you know, you're leaving town, you're out of town. But in the back of our house, there's this open field where they, you know, they grow wheat and cotton back there. But as a kid, we used to play in the backyard, and there's an alleyway behind the house, and beyond that is the open field. Where one day there's this little ball about the size of a ball about the size of a softball, and it looked transparent, and it looked like a balloon. It just floated out there.
Okay.
And me and other kids, we figured it was a balloon. You know, we tried to, you know, get the balloon and play with it, but you know, it wouldn't let us. We couldn't get close to it. It would, like, it would blow away or something.
Did it blow away like a balloon would?
No, it floated away. It didn't.
Like it was under some kind of control.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And you know, we played it off as a balloon, but you know, there was times when I was back there in the backyard by myself playing, and I would see it again, and it was pretty close to me. So I'm like, you know, about 15, 20 yards away. And this time I kind of watched it, and it followed me. It stayed parallel to me. And I stopped. When I stopped, it stopped. And I walked toward it, and it backed away. It wouldn't let me get too close. But I got close enough to get a good look at it, found out that it wasn't. It looked transparent. I found out that it wasn't transparent, but it was chrome. It was like a perfect, shiny chrome ball. And it just floated out there.
Almost like let's assume for a moment it came from another planet. Of little people, I mean really little people, and to them maybe this was a big craft, maybe it was a big, you know, ship. Is that possible?
It seems possible, because it was definitely in control, because when I wasn't, you know, it walked parallel with me, and when I stop and go toward it, it would kind of back off. But there was times when I tried to pretend as if I didn't notice it was there and didn't pay any attention to it, and I would look up, and it's pretty close to me, and I try to run toward it, and it just backs off. It never would let me get killed. It's like it was playing with me.
How long did it hang around? Days, weeks?
It went over years. I saw it over the years, from the age of 10 all the way up to the age of 16. I was 16 the last time I saw it.
6 years, the thing just kind of just stayed in that area.
Yeah, it did. Sometimes it's behind the house. Other times it was in the front of the house.
But it was always in that area.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Too bad you couldn't catch it.
Yeah, I think I couldn't explain it for nothing. I don't know what it was.
And then one day, what happened to it? It was just gone?
I just didn't see it anymore. I just didn't see it anymore. At age 16, I didn't see it. But I would see it from time to time, hanging over the power lines or hanging in the backfield. It's like it's just more like it was it was observing everything that happened around there.
And your friends, they saw this thing?
Yeah, a friend of mine. The first time I saw it, I was with a friend. And I saw it on another occasion. It was with a friend when it was over the power line, and they saw it. They thought it was a balloon.
How about your parents? Did you tell them about this thing?
No, my parents never saw it. I told them about it, but they never saw it.
Weird.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. I don't know.
Could you rule out that it was a spirit or anything like that?
I don't know anything about a spirit.
All right, and it was definitely was not a ball of light.
No, it wasn't a ball of light. It was a silver spear.
All right. That's incredible.
And I just want to have you heard anything like that before? Or if any of your guests had called in with some similar story to that.
But. All right. I appreciate it. That has got to be one of the weirdest ones I've heard in a long time. Appreciate it. Superstition Hotline. We're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is Raven from Rockwood, Tennessee.
Hi, Raven. What's on your mind?
No, my name is Raven.
Raven?
Yeah.
That's what I said. What's on your mind?
Oh, okay. I thought you said Rachel. No, George, you don't know what a joy it is to talk to you. I feel like we're related as much time as I spend with you.
I don't know if we're related.
No, I've got some weird coincidences. I was married on the 13th of May, and 13 months later, my first son was born, and 1 minute before.
That's pretty good timing.
I know, it was pretty good. And then 19 months later, my second son was born on Friday the 13th.
And are they lucky?
No, they're not.
Okay, thanks. Your phone's breaking up a little bit. In a few more minutes, we're going to play, by the way, I think I can tell you about it now. We'll get right into it, and then I'll come back and tell you about the rest of the week. Lee Allen has been a giant in Detroit radio for years. And this was handed to him by an old news director of a radio station. It's a copy of a letter written by a young Marine named Michael, who was hospitalized after being wounded on a Korean battlefield. The letter was written home to his mother. It was first seen and read by a Navy chaplain. Now, in this letter, Michael describes what happened to him on the lonely frozen battlefield. When the chaplain first saw the letter, he talked with the boy's mother, the sergeant in charge of the boys' patrol, and the patrolled members themselves. Now, keep in mind, this is a long time ago, 50-some years ago. Privately, they will all still tell you that what you are about to hear is a true story. Recently, the letter, at Christmas time, stands on its own merit. The sergeant, the patrol members, and Michael are real people. I do not know if Michael is still alive. He may be. The story was a letter. They call it a letter from Michael. I wanted to play this for you around the Christmas season, and of course I was going on holiday, so I didn't have a chance to play this for you. I want you to listen to Lee Allen and pay very close attention to the last portion of this letter that he is going to read to you. If you believe in, well, I guess you just have to listen to this because this thing really moved me. It's called A Letter from Michael.
Dear Mom, I wouldn't dare write this letter to anyone but you because no one else would believe it. Maybe even you'll find it hard, but I've got to tell somebody. First off, I'm in a hospital. Now, don't worry, you hear me? Don't worry. I was wounded, but I'm okay. You understand? Okay. The doctor says I'll be up and around in a month, but that isn't what I want to tell you. Remember when I joined the Marines last year? Remember when I left, how you told me to say a prayer to St. Michael every day? You really didn't have to tell me that. Ever since I can remember, you always told me to pray to St. Michael the Archangel. You even named me after him. Well, I always have. When I got to Korea, I prayed even harder. Remember the prayer you taught me? Michael, Michael of the morning, fresh court of heaven adorning. You know the rest of it. Well, I said it every day. Sometimes when I was marching, sometimes resting. but always before I went to sleep. I even got some of the other fellas to say it. Well, one day I was with an advanced detail way up forward of the front lines. I was plodding along in the bitter cold. My breath was like cigar smoke. I thought I knew every guy in a patrol, and alongside of me comes another Marine I'd never met before. He was bigger than any Marine I'd ever seen. He must have been 6'4" and built in proportion. Gave me a feeling of security to have such a buddy near. Anyway, there we were, trudging along. Rest of the patrol spread out. Just to start a conversation, I said, "Cold, ain't it?" And then I laughed. Here I was with a good chance of getting killed any minute, and I'm talking about the weather. My companion seemed to understand. I heard him laugh softly. I looked at him. "I've never seen you before. I thought I knew every man in the outfit." "I just joined at the last minute," he replied. "The name is Michael."
"Is that so?" I said. "That's my name, too."
"I know," he said. And then went on, "Michael, Michael of the morning."
I was too amazed to say anything for a minute. How did he know my name and the prayer that you had taught me? Then I smiled to myself.
Every guy in the outfit knew about me. Hadn't I taught the prayer to anyone who'd listen? Why, now and then they even referred to me as Saint Michael.
Neither of us spoke for a time, and then he broke the silence. "We're going to have some trouble up ahead."
He must have been in fine physical shape, for he was breathing so lightly I couldn't see his breath.
Mine poured out in great clouds. There was no smile on his face now.
"Trouble ahead," I thought to myself.
Well, with the enemy all around us, that's no great revelation. Snow began to fall in great thick globs. In a brief moment, the whole countryside was blotted out, and I was marching in a white fog of wet, sticky particles. My companion disappeared.
"Michael!"
I shouted in sudden alarm. I felt his hand on my arm. His voice was rich and strong. "This will stop shortly."
His prophecy proved to be correct. In a few minutes, the snow stopped as abruptly as it had begun. The sun was a hard, shining disk. I looked back for the rest of the patrol. There was no one in sight. We lost him in that heavy fall of snow. I looked ahead as we came over a little rise. "Mom, my heart stopped." There were 7 of them,
in their padded pants and jackets and funny little hats. Only there wasn't anything funny about them now. 7 rifles were aimed at us.
"Down, Michael!"
I screamed and hit the frozen earth. I heard those rifles fire almost as one.
I heard the bullets. But there was Michael, still standing. "Mom, those guys couldn't have missed. Not at that range. I expected to see him literally blown to bits." But there he stood, making no effort to fire himself. He was paralyzed with fear. It happens sometimes, Mom, even to the bravest. He was like a bird, fascinated by a snake.
At least, that's what I thought then. I jumped up to pull him down and felt a sudden flame in my chest. I often wondered what it felt like to be hit. Now, I know. I remember feeling strong arms about me. Arms that laid me ever so gently on a pillow of snow. I opened my eyes for one last look.
I was dying. Maybe I was even dead. I remember thinking, well, this isn't so bad. Maybe I was looking into the sun. Maybe I was in shock. But it seemed I saw Michael standing erect again.
Only this time, his face was shining with terrible splendor. As I say, maybe it was the sun in my eyes, but he seemed to change as I watched him.
He grew bigger. His arms stretched out wide. Maybe it was the snow falling again, but there was a brightness around him, like the wings of an angel. In his hand was a sword that flashed with a million lights.
Well, that's the last thing I remember till the rest of the fellows came up and found me. I don't know how much time had passed, but now and then I had a moment's respite from the pain, fever.
I remember telling them of the enemy just ahead. "Where's Michael?" I asked. I saw them look at one another. "Where's who?" asked one.
"Michael. Michael, that big Marine I was walking with just before the snow squall hit us."
"Kid," said the sergeant, "you weren't walking with anyone. I had my eyes on you the whole time. You were getting too far out. I was just going to call you in when you disappeared in the snow." He looked at me curiously. "How'd you do it, kid?"
"How'd I do what?"
I asked, half angry despite my wound.
"This big Marine named Michael and I were just..."
"Son," said the sergeant kindly, "I picked this outfit myself, and there just ain't another Michael in it. You're the only Mike in it." He paused for a moment. "Just how'd you do it, kid?"
"We heard shots."
"There hasn't been a shot fired from your rifle. And there isn't a bit of lead in them seven bodies over the hill there." I didn't say anything. What could I say? I could only look open-mouthed with amazement. It was then the sergeant spoke again. "Kid," he said gently, "every one of those seven bodies over the hill there was killed by a sword stroke."
"That's all I can tell you, Mom. As I say, it may have been the sun in my eyes. It may have been the cold or the pain. But that's what happened. Love, Michael."
I think we're going to need a Michael this year. And I wanted to play that for you at Christmas, and it's only appropriate to play it now. Let's go to one caller to say goodnight to all of you before we wrap it up. Say goodnight to the world for me.
Good night, George. Good night, the world. God bless everyone.
Okay. And I'll see you again on Monday. Ian Punnett on Saturday. The classic Art Bell Show will be for you on Sunday. And we got a great week of programs ahead for you all week long right here on Coast to Coast AM. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasseur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.